What's happening locally? The news.
And it is indeed time for us to take this morning's look, some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. The Attorney General of the administration, Rigoberto Gonzalez, stated that it is not legally viable for the members of the boards of directors of public companies to authorize mutual agreements contrary to the provisions contained in the law. This is referring to the compensation reached by at least six managers and executives of the state-owned electric transmission company SA, ETESA. In an opinion which was sent to the Minister of Commerce and Industries and President of the Board of Directors of ETESA, Jorge Rivera Staff, the attorney, recalled that Article No. 1 of Law 24 of 2014, which regulates the term of officials of public institutions, indicates that those who are appointed heads, managers, directors, or administrators of autonomous and semi-autonomous public entities and state companies, they will do so for a period of 5 years concurrent with the presidential term. Therefore, they will not be entitled to severance pay. For Gonzalez, the general managers and other members of the senior management of these companies have a character of officials governed by administrative law and are not called upon to maintain an employment relationship for an indefinite period framed in the Labour Code. In this sense, it details that those who are going to occupy these positions in a state company must be linked to it through an administrative act for a fixed period, through a takeover. Gonzalez also requests that Minister Rivera staff send him in a per emptory time an authenticated copy of the employment contract and the agreements to terminate the employment relationship signed with the members of senior management, directors and bosses of ETESA. The query arises after last Friday it became known that the general manager of ETESA, this is Carlos Mosquera, will receive compensation of $249,195. Mosquera, by the way, already receives a juicy salary of $14,315, more than double what the President of the Republic, ministers and deputies earn. Assistant manager Oscar Rendol also agreed to a mutual agreement, and in his case of $306,615. In addition to Mosquera and Rendol, four other ETESA executives are awaiting compensation by mutual agreement. This was between the six of them now. They represent an expense of almost $1 million. Members of the Union of Electrical and Similar Industry Workers of the Republic have pointed out that these compensations by mutual agreement are illegal since they're not governed by the rules contained within the Labour Code. The benefits agreed in the collective agreement are not applicable either. In fact, they highlighted that Mosquera does not even pay union dues. The elected president, José Raúl Molino, has made a series of appointments to different positions. Despite the fact that these are duly regulated by law and can only be replaced under certain conditions. On the 25th of June, Molino appointed José Pablo Ramos as general manager of Merca Panama, although this was through direct means. However, Chapter 4 of Law 90 of the 7th of November of 2013 on the coal chain establishes the selection guidelines for the position. The rule explains the following. Coal chain will have a general manager appointed by the President of the Republic from a shortlist presented by the Board of Directors and will hold office for a period of 7 years. Ranth Berard, current manager of Merca Panama, who was selected through a shortlist and unanimously ratified in the National Assembly in 2020, would end his position in 2027. Berard could be replaced if he resigns or if he is removed from his position for serious administrative misconduct or failure to comply with any rule or decision adopted by the Board of Directors. Neither of these two variants has been known to have occurred. Molino appointed Roy Morales as general manager of the electric transmission company ETESA, but according to Article 19 of ETESA's organic law, the board of directors is the one that will appoint or may remove the general manager and the internal auditor through the favourable vote of four of its members. Now, regarding this entity, its current manager, Carlos Mosquera, resigned from his position by mutual agreement as of the 30th of June, including a compensation of $250,000. For these positions, a period of 7 years is established, trying to ensure that they do not coincide with presidential terms. This is to avoid autonomy to entities with highly technical operations. On Tuesday, the 25th of June, Molino appointed Salomon Sharma as General Director of the Tourism Promotion Fund, Promotor. Now, despite the fact that Article 6 of Law 9 of March the 14th of 2017 indicates that the Board of Directors of this organization is in charge of appointing and removing the General Director of that organization. Now, the law that regulates the fund establishes in detail the method for forming the Board of Directors, who is responsible for choosing the director, approving the administrative structure, expenses, and investments. Representatives of the newly formed Mixed Bench and the Democratic Revolutionary Party announced that on the 1st of July they would support the Realizing Goals candidate Dana Castañeda for the presidency of the Board of Directors of the National Assembly. José Muñoz, president of the Alianza Party, stressed that the four deputies who make up the so-called Mixed Bench met this week and agreed to support Castañeda's candidacy. Castañeda is a person who acted in the Assembly as a deputy for 10 years and 5 years as undersecretary, with which reached the consensus that she was the most experienced person to occupy that position, said the president of Alianza. As will be remembered, said bench is made up of two elected deputies from the Alianza Party, Osman Gomez and Johnny Guevara. This faction was joined by Isaac Mosquera, a Darien representative from the Nationalist Republican Liberation Movement, Molirena, as well as Elisa Castellón from the Popular Party. In the words of Muñoz, the coming period will require a great consensus at the national level on issues such as Social Security Fund, the recovery of the economy, and attention to the water crisis. Our caucus will support these important issues, they said. Now, for his part, the head of the PRD bench, Javier Sucre, told La Prensa that although they have not yet made a decision who they will support on the 1st of July, they welcome with favour Castañeda's candidacy as president of the Assembly. In the next few days, we're going to meet with her as much as possible before Saturday, he assured. And the PRD president, Benicio Robinson, announced that if they support another candidate, it will be one who comes from a political party. We're not going to support freestanding candidates since only they are represented, not the vast majority, he added. Castañeda's a deputy for Circuit 2-3, which includes the districts of La Pintada, Nata and Ola in the province of Coclay. It's RM's choice to preside over the National Assembly after an intense internal struggle within the group. A total of 12 people reported to the Public Prosecutor's Office that their names appear on the National Assembly payroll, even though they have never worked or withdrawn a cheque from that entity. Some of those affected appear with salaries of up to $8,900 a month. They discovered this irregularity when verifying their digital file, which is proof of the salaries received from the employer on the electronic portal of the Social Security Fund. On these receipts, they appear as employees of the National Assembly between October of 2023 and January of 2024. The Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office reported that it has carried out proceedings in the Assembly, the CSS and the Comptroller General of the Republic. The last entity, of course, indicated it does not keep records of appointments or proof of issuance of checks in favour of those affected. In addition, inspections were carried out at the CSS, some with computer experts. The prosecutor's office highlighted that the CSS already ruled out that those affected had worked in public institutions. The Prensa contacted 5 of those affected. 4 work in private companies and 1 in the Ministry of Education. 3 of them revealed that although they filed complaints, they have not yet been contacted by the public ministry. This Wednesday, the expansion of the Panama Canal is celebrated 8 years of operation, marked by the challenge of facing restrictions on ship transits due to the drought. Since the inauguration of the Neo-Panamax locks in 2016, more than 25,000 vessels have passed through, including the largest container ships in the industry, such as the CMACGM Zephyr, with a capacity of 16,285 TEUs, and the Evermax, 17,312 TEUs. The waterway connects more than 180 maritime routes, linking 170 countries and reaching approximately 1,920 ports worldwide. The container ship segment, considering the operations of the new and the first locks, represents more than 50% of transits, followed by liquefied petroleum gas and liquefied natural gas vessels. Since the expansion, LNG vessels have seen a steady growth. Currently, more than 90% of the world's fleet can use the route, facilitating the competitive transportation of natural gas from the United States to Asia. LPG vessel traffic has also increased significantly, with the second largest segment being due to the Neo-Panamax locks. For this year, the canal income in the budget was estimated at $4,776.5 million, with operating expenses of $1,542 million and direct contributions to the state of approximately $2,470.8 million, in addition to other payments of $247.9 million. The result at the end of the fiscal year will depend on the normalization of the number of transits, the amount of cargo transited, and the expenses of the canal operation. The Neo-Panamax locks, considered a marvel of modern engineering, were built at a cost of at least $5.6 billion. And lastly, fuel prices, they're going to register an increase starting on this Friday, reported the National Secretariat of Energy. 95-octane will increase 2 cents per litre and will be sold at $1.02. Meanwhile, 91-octane will rise 1 cent and the litre will be sold at 93 cents, while low-sulphur diesel will increase 3 cents and will be 88 cents per litre. These prices will be valid until next July the 12th. There we go. That's it. There's our look for this morning. Those are some of the local news stories for you, compiled on today's programme.